This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. As a young Muslim American journalist, Yasmin Bendas paid particular attention to how Muslim women are represented in the media. In the past year, the Islamic State group has made daily headlines, and political rhetoric has become increasingly charged with religious stereotypes. Yet there are very few media representations of Muslim women who look like her and her friends. Yasmin began to wonder how the media narrative about Islam has affected the lives of Muslim women, so she decided to give them a microphone. Project 841 shares how a handful of Muslim women from the South experience Islamophobia in their everyday lives. Yasmin is a master's candidate at UNC Chapel Hill School of Media and Journalism and joins me now on The State of Things. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
You came up with the hypothesis that women wearing the hijab experience more direct hatred than other women. Tell us more about that.
Well, as you can see, and others can't, I actually don't wear the hijab. So I don't face a lot of the things that the women I interviewed face. Women who wear the hijab literally wear their religion everywhere they walk. And unfortunately, in today's world, Islam isn't always the religion you want to be wearing.
So tell us about the project and how that came about.
I wanted to be able to share the voices of Muslim women because I think it's something that we don't always see or even hear. A lot of times in the media, and we all know this, the depiction of a Muslim woman is wearing all black. Sometimes you don't even see her whole face, and she's never talking.
When you're talking about Muslim women, so Muslim women qua Muslim women, then we have to depict them in a full burqa, right?
Right, and that's just not accurate.
And so then there is this nuance, these other levels and ranges of women who have various experiences. Tell me a bit about your own experience as a Muslim American woman who does not wear a hijab. Have you sensed any of this? When did you have the sense, or have you, of any sort of discrimination?
9/11. I was 10 years old. I remember that there was a conference at Wake Forest where I was an undergrad, and we had someone speaking about terrorism. And I remember directly asking him, I was 20 years old, and I said, 9/11 happened when I was 10. When will I stop feeling like we are a hated community for what happened when we had nothing to do with it? And unfortunately, I'm 25 now, and I have to say that it's even worse than when I was 10, and it's even worse than when I was 20.
And you are not alone. One of the women in the project talks about being in a hijab on the night of the Paris attacks. Let's hear.
The night the Paris attacks happened, I was in D.C. And the friends around me were like, we shouldn't go to the White House. We shouldn't go to the monuments. And I was like, wait, why? We didn't do anything wrong. But legitimately, like, the tension was so thick in the air that you could cut it, you know, with a knife. It's ridiculous how much more self-aware I've become throughout all of it, even in terms of me smiling. Like, I feel like I have to smile at every passerby. If I go for a run, I will make sure to smile at the person next to me in case they think that I'm just like some angry person or whatever. Before the attacks, before San Bernardino, before Brussels, I didn't really care all that much. I didn't really care what people thought. At one point, I was like, man, they can't really make me be, like, the representation of Islam. Like, I'm not that person. You know what I mean? I just want to go for a run. Chill out.
That's a clip from Project 841, a collection of narratives from Muslim American women in the South, compiled by my guest today, Yasmin Bendas. To what extent are we talking about women who identify as themselves, who are wearing a burqa or other garb that would identify them as Muslim, and just the sense that you know who you are in this environment? How much of it has to do with these identifying markers?
You know, it's unfortunate, though, because the hijab means a lot more to these women than just their religion. And I think at the end of the day, to them, it was just a piece of cloth. And I don't say that to downplay it. I just mean that there's a human being under it, that there's a personality under it. And the fact when Nawal wasn't the only person that we just heard that told me she feels like she has to smile. And because I don't wear a hijab, if I'm in a bad mood, that's totally fine. I don't feel like I have to smile at anybody. So for her to feel that way was upsetting, that you kind of have to put on something so that other people don't think you're hostile.
And it's interesting because you talked with women also who have been doing this for a while, who've been able to think about and experience how things have changed.
Since I've been born, since I've talked to older hijabi women that are much, much older than me, whatever difference that people automatically saw when they saw them, the question that would come to their minds was, aren't you hot in that? And now when people see me and it'll be just a friend even, but that's not Muslim, the question that comes to them, that hits them when they see me, is, aren't you scared in that?
That's a clip from Project 841. I'm talking with Yasmin Bendas today. You also were curious in exploring the many reasons, because, again, if this is your experience and you're feeling this, I mean, one response might be not to wear it. But you talk with women about why they wear, and there's many and varied reasons for this.
Absolutely. All of these women clearly have a deep connection to their faith. And they all have various reasons for wearing it, whether that be self-empowerment, whether that be because they actually feel more safe wearing it, because they feel they're protected by God. There's many reasons, and they're all individual, and I really want people to understand that. There's no one reason that a woman would choose to wear a hijab.
Well, and it's interesting that you gave voice to these rationales and allowed women to talk about the various reasons, because, again, it sort of shatters the stereotype about, first of all, what it means to wear a hijab, and secondly, why a woman would. And here's a sample of one of the women who talked with you.
I had always grown up in a society that told me less is more empowering, and growing up wearing less and seeing the negative attention that I faced really just brought me down a lot. I really hated that. I would get treated very differently because I wore less, and I thought that was more empowering, but they treated me horribly. So, you know, I was also in an abusive relationship, so that had a lot to do with it, because I wanted to cover now, because I wanted to be more than just my body. I wanted to be thought of intellectually and for my personality, and so I felt very empowered by putting it on.
I mean, this gets to the question, too, because there's a critique, sort of from some progressive circles, that if feminist circles, why would you do this? This is a symbol of oppression in a system that doesn't value women. And this is, it seems to me that clip anyway is antidote to that.
Absolutely. If anyone wants to say that the hijab is a symbol of oppression, they haven't asked the women wearing it what it means to them. And that's basically all it is. For Karina in that clip, she's actually a Mexican-American and she's actually a convert. I've talked to a lot of Muslims, and I have not met a Mexican-American convert. But for her to actually take that on and feel that way after she wore it was big for me to listen to.
There was also in her answer a spiritual aspect to this, the sense that more is less in some ways, and that less can be more. The idea that one can buy into sort of American cultural values about looking the way you want, and also be a victim, so that you can victimize yourself in a couple of different ways. And it should be clear to you that there are good spiritual and religious reasons for wanting to appear this way.
Absolutely. And I think also in Karina's case, and a lot of the women that do choose to wear the hijab, it's because they don't want to be objectified. It's because they want us to be able to look at them for who they are, for their intellect. And all of the women that I spoke to are extremely smart, extremely kind, and just to get to know the person rather than thinking that they're just wearing a hijab and so they must be dangerous to us.
One of the women you interviewed was your mom. Tell us a bit about that experience.
Yeah. I actually don't really talk to my mom about this stuff a lot. She does wear the hijab. And it was really interesting for me to hear about her experiences and her decisions to wear it and the experiences that she has in day-to-day life. I think that a lot of times she does keep that from me because she doesn't want to worry. And I'm very fortunate that a lot of the people around me haven't faced a lot of discrimination and haven't faced anything extremely difficult here in North Carolina, but it has happened.
Why? You say that you don't talk to her much about that. Why? Is that a choice you made?
No. I mean, it's obviously just uncomfortable to recognize that your own mom could be in danger because of her faith and because she wears it.
But you didn't ask her. I mean, you have made a decision not to wear the hijab.
For now, yeah.
And she wears it. So that, mm-hmm. But that was not a topic of conversation. It wasn't anything that she brought up to you. Did she ask you why you're not wearing it?
No, absolutely not.
Well, you also talked with women about their experience of Islamophobia, and some of those were some of the most chilling narratives of all when we heard what women are actually experiencing. This is a clip from a woman who was a hostess at a chain restaurant. Let's listen.
A couple weeks after I started wearing hijab, two men that came in, one was really great, you know, he was really nice to me, but his friend followed in after him and gave me, like, really awful looks. And, you know, when I went to go sit them at the table because I was a hostess, I, like, moved out of his way, and I was like, oh, I'm sorry, like, go ahead. And he was like, what? You know, and started yelling at me, like, what do you mean? Like, why do you think you're in my way? You know, it was really hostile very quickly, and I hadn't done anything. And his friend was trying to calm him down and be like, look, you need to relax. I was shaken up, and I told my bosses, and they were watching the area. And then when he was leaving, I guess that's when I saw his backpack said Desert Storm Veteran. And he didn't know that my dad is actually a Marine in the United States military. And then he came back because I guess he forgot his sunglasses. And when I said bye, he turned his attention to me, and he was like, you know, that's some religion you got there. And then he got really close into my face, like only a few inches away, and started screaming, you know, like, you know what I saw there, you know how they beat women, you know what I've seen, and all this other stuff. And I was just shocked that someone would yell at me and talk to me about how he was protecting women, but he's here yelling at a child, basically, because I was only like 19, I wasn't even 20. And then my coworkers had to come in, and we ended up calling the cops because he was making threats, and it was really a horrifying experience, because that was the first time I was thought of as un-American, and that hurt my feelings because I'd grown up here, my dad has served, so if anything, I feel more American than certain people that haven't had that experience.
That was a clip from Project 841, a collection of narratives from Muslim American women in the South, compiled by my guest today, Yasmin Bendas. Were you expecting more stories like that, less? What do you think?
I didn't know exactly what to expect, but I did. I mean, the thing that I was trying to get at wasn't like a big story, just like everyday harassment that you might feel or everyday discomfort that any woman who might wear a hijab might feel. And I feel like obviously those kinds of things aren't the things that make it into the media because they seem really small. But I think over time for any individual that might add up and you might start to feel unsafe or you might start to feel concerned for yourself.
And you can feel that just walking down the street.
I was driving on Hillsborough and I had my windows down. The weather was nice. And then a car is on the opposite end was driving past me. And it was like a big truck and I drive a low sedan. And he, like, goes out his window and he's like, Muslims suck. And this was, like, a couple of months after I put on the scarf. So I was very, like, fragile already. And so I was meeting up with my friend and I saw her. And, like, at first when he said that, I was just stunned. Like, I couldn't react. I didn't even, like, have any desire to, like, say anything back to him. But I just, like, froze and I just continued my way. And I met up with my friend and I was like, oh, my God, this guy just said Muslims suck to me. And then I didn't realize it affected me more than it, like, I didn't realize it affected me to the extent where I just started, like, tearing up and, like, almost crying. I was like, wow, I never experienced something like this.
A clip from Project 841, a collection of narratives from Muslim American women in the South. My guest today is Yasmin Bendas, who compiled those narratives. So, and what about the cumulative effect? I mean, we're getting at some of this, that you begin to take this on board and internalize this, walk the streets or drive the streets every day. Did you notice or was there a pattern in the women you talked with about how this has changed how they behave every day, how they act every day, what they do every day?
You know, one of the biggest things was kind of their everyday normal reactions, like one of the clips we heard earlier where women felt like they had to smile or they had to be nicer to people to prove just that they're a nice person. But also, at the end of the day, I have to really say, so that I represent the women that I spoke to really well, they weren't scared. These women are not scared to be wearing the hijab. They are very much in line with their decision to wear it, and they want to be wearing it. And they don't think that anyone's scaring them or anyone being intimidated or offended. When they shouldn't be offended by a woman wearing a hijab. It's not going to make them take it off.
Not going to make them take it off, but it does affect your behavior. I mean, you talked about it. You know, I have to smile more. I am, whether I like it or not, I'm seen as representing.
Absolutely. And I think that's really hard. And a lot of the women told me, you know, the hijab in a way does make them a better Muslim because they have to smile and they have to be kinder to people. And that's exactly what our religion tells us to do. So in a way, by wearing that, they are living their religion because of the way they also have to act. But I do think that it's really hard because as a Muslim American, you feel like there are all of these things being said about you that you don't really have a lot to do with. And even when something is said like Muslims suck, it's like, I don't know why that's being said. I don't know why that has anything to do with me. And so it's just kind of hard to recognize that we're under a blanket of something that we don't really have anything to do with.
And of course, whatever the impact on them, and you talked with a lot of young women, it has an impact on families that has a kind of ripple effect on down the line. Let's listen.
I'm 22 and I have a curfew because my parents are actually just really worried. Every time we go out, they're just like, people hate Muslims and that. You never know if they hate you, like they might hurt you and stuff. They were so upset that I moved to South Carolina because they were really worried. So I probably should be more alert, but then at the same time, I don't want to be living my life in fear.
A clip from Project 841. Yasmin Bendas is my guest today. She collected those stories. Do you have a sense of how these stories are different from those that men might tell?
No. Actually, I think they might be pretty similar. I mean, we see it a lot, or I've seen it. I've seen clips of anyone that might look Muslim, and for a man that's like wearing a beard or have Middle Eastern features, I'm sure they also face harassment. But especially as a woman, I mean, I'm sure there are some Muslim men that don't have a beard or don't look Middle Eastern, and that's true because not all of them are Middle Eastern. And I think that's something that we need to make very clear. All of the women that I interviewed that wore hijab, they're not all Arab. They're not all the same thing. But I assume that both genders do feel something in this.
Tell me a little bit about the title of this project, Project 841.
So 841 was actually the class number, my course number. But I ended up going with Project 841 because it sounds like a classified document. And I do think that Muslims in America especially feel like a classified document. There's always these senses of Muslims need to be under surveillance. We need to put them in a database. We need to know who they are and what they're doing. And all of that information, I'm assuming, is going to be kept in some type of classified document. But at the same time, that's not how it should be. We're not all out here to do anything wrong. All of the women that I spoke to are students. You're more likely to meet a doctor that is Muslim who's going to try to make you feel better and give you medication to get better rather than someone that's trying to do you harm. And I think it's really time that we all started to understand that.
Well, it's interesting, too, because your own family was under surveillance at one point, right?
Yeah. So back when home lines were a big thing, my parents used a lot of phone cards to call out of the country. My mom's Iranian and my dad's Algerian. So obviously we have a lot of calls incoming and outgoing to Iran, which was dubbed the Axis of Evil. My parents would sometimes hear the line go in and out and assume that it was being tapped. I wouldn't be surprised if it was.
Well, and again, this is something that has an effect. I mean, you talked about sort of making these distinctions and saying, look, not all women are and not all Muslims are. These are things that we're finding ourselves having to say, which in many ways we shouldn't have to say in 2016.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it almost sounds like we're having to make an apology for something for which we haven't done.
No, and it's a really hard place to be in. Even for me, when these attacks happen around the world, they are terrible and they are devastating to both people inside the Muslim community and people outside of it. And people inside the Muslim community also face these same attacks. We're also not safe from them. And I think it's kind of a bad position or kind of a sad position to be like, I feel like I should apologize, but I'm also not to blame. Mm. So there's women that will say we need to stand up and say more, and there's women that say it has nothing to do with me, I don't have to say anything. And so in the case of these women, it was just an opportunity to give them the chance to talk. It doesn't have to be about apologizing or not being of blame. It's just to talk about their everyday lives as a Muslim woman.
Yasmin, thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Yasmin Bendas, a master's candidate at the School of Journalism and Mass Communications at UNC Chapel Hill. You can find out more about Project 841 at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, a youth production of the musical Violet explores race in the American South. Stay with us.